Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series called The People of Jesus as we head into the Easter season. The followers of Jesus came from all walks of life. This morning we look at the big three. Peter, James, and John. We read so much about these three men. We see their beginnings with Jesus, and we see the death of one in Scripture. We know how the other two died because of historical recording. They saw some of the most amazing moments of Jesus' life. They had their low points as well. We can learn from all of them. This Sunday is Confirmation Sunday and Palm Sunday. It's a day of celebration. We'll challenge our confirmants to live for Jesus their whole lives, even when they fail. We see Jesus restore Peter, James, and John after they fled from Jesus in the garden, but we later see them suffer because of their faith in Jesus. They are an example to all of us. May God bless you and keep you, and may His face shine upon you this week. And thank you for listening.
Pray together this morning. God of mercy, you are full of tenderness and compassion, slow to anger, rich in mercy, and always ready to forgive. Grant us grace to renounce all evil and to cling to Christ, that in every way we may prove to be your loving children through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our senior choir sings, "I'd Rather Have Jesus."
Jesus, give me Jesus.
Judy Berger reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, The People of Jesus, The Lady Disciples.
In the prayer for illumination, wise, all-knowing God, soften our hardened hearts that we may hear your voice in the reading of the scriptures. Lead us and feed us as we travel through this Lenten wilderness toward the promised land. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The first lesson is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became as dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then quickly go and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30. Jesus left the place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered the house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as he heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the little children eat all they want," he said, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Here ends the lesson.
Morning, we're going to be looking at the lady disciples. And when you read scripture, it's amazing how many interactions that Jesus had with ladies and women. But we see ladies all through the scripture. And ladies at this time were not of equal rights as men, and they were discounted a lot. They did not have the same rights, and it was easy to dismiss them. We see that with the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8. It takes two to commit adultery, last time I checked. They didn't have the man out there they wanted to stone. They only wanted to stone the woman. And Jesus corrected that. You know, he challenged that, and he gave the lady a new path to look at. But we're going to be in Luke chapter 7 this morning. We're going to read a story about her, and then we're going to also list some other ladies here and see how valuable that ladies were then and how valuable they are now and what we can learn from that in our walk with the Lord. But we see all kinds of situations. I'm going to give you a little homework assignment. You can multiple choice here, all right? I'm going to give you different ladies' stories, and you can read about whichever one you want to. We have the woman at the well that someone mentioned, John chapter 4, one whole chapter about her. I love that story because she was of a different culture. They were not to associate at all. And then her testimony was she went and told all of her friends, come and see the man that told me everything I've ever done. I don't know about you, but I don't want those people talking publicly, all right, about me in some cases. You know, I was with a group of people this past week, got visiting with them, and this older guy kept kind of quizzing me about when we lived in Moberly, do we remember any of our neighbors? And I'm trying to think, where's he going with this? And toward the end of the time that I was with him, he finally said, do you remember Tracy? And I go, oh, went to college with Tracy. I said, oh, I see where this is going now. What stories has Tracy told you about our college days together when we lived in Moberly? But we also see the bleeding woman that, you know, we don't get her name, but she's a woman that had gone from place to place for years for someone trying to heal her. And she finally comes up behind Jesus, touches his hem, tries to get away. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to have any of that. You're going to get to meet me. You're going to get to see me. I'm going to see you. We're going to be together. You're going to know how much I love you. I'm going to give you value. And then he tells her, your faith has healed you. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Your faith, nobody else's faith. She took the chance. She got rewarded for her faith. We see the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, if you want to read about that one as well. We see in Matthew chapter 26 and John 12, Jesus was anointed at Bethany by Mary before he was going in. And if you were with us at the Passover thing last night, you see that that had direct correlation to the Passover meal. You know, Mary was anointing Jesus. She was, you know, cleansing him, getting him ready for the sacrifice. In John chapter 11, we see Mary and Martha in probably the most human of all chapters, that when their brother has died, and they challenged Jesus. They come to Jesus and said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. They stand up to him and they're grieving, they're mad, they're angry, all the stages of grief. And they stand there and Jesus gives them that great statement, I'm the resurrection and life. You know, if you live and believe in me, you will never die. And if you live by believing me, you will live forever. And we see that there. We see Mary Magdalene. We see her at all different places. We'll see her here in John chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, but the story I picked out is a woman that we don't have her name. Some people have associated her with Mary Magdalene, but there's some debate about that. But she says some unnamed woman that everybody in the community knew, they had labeled her and discounted her. So let's look there at Luke chapter 7. We're going to start with verse 36 and go through the first three verses of chapter 8. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. This would have been a wealthy house. All right, this would have been a prominent house. People would have known where this guy was at. And this guy was the religious leader, supposed to be taking care of the spiritual needs of their community. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, $50,000, and another one 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. I think it's interesting that we have the name of Simon. Simon's not in a good light, but we remember his name. We don't get the name of the woman. He says, you have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I have came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair." See, it was custom. Especially when you came into a wealthy house, your feet got washed. They would have a servant that would do that for you. If they didn't, they would do it themselves. But you know, this Pharisee's pretty full of himself. He didn't know who quite Jesus was, so he's already insulted Jesus by not washing his feet. So this sinner, sinful woman, comes in and is cleaning his feet. He said, "You did not give me a kiss on the cheek, but this woman from the time I have entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown, but whoever has forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, a very prominent lady, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. So we see that among the group that Jesus was going about towns and traveling around doing his ministry, there was a group of ladies going with him, a very important group of ladies. Many times people will dismiss Christianity because they think it gives a bad status to ladies. Not when I read the Gospels. Not when I read Paul's letters. He lists all the ladies. You mentioned Priscilla and Dorcas. You mentioned all the ones in Romans chapter 16. He talked about how hard they work for the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, he mentions Syntyche and the lady that she was with. He mentions ladies all through the scripture. And we see how Jesus takes women out of the shadows and elevates their status. He gives them value and prominence right along with his disciples. But when we look at this lady here, we can learn a lot from her faith that I think will help us. That their faith, these ladies that brought with them, their faith showed repentance. When this lady came in, she fell at Jesus' feet. She was there to show Jesus, "I'm sorry, I've changed. You've made a difference in my life." She is showing him that she was leaving her life of sin and now that she was part of his entourage. We see that when Jesus had the woman caught in adultery, his last words to her were, "Go and leave your life of sin." That when we come to Jesus, he doesn't, you know, just pat us on the head and say, "Good job, you know, do whatever you're doing, come back to me when you feel." He says, "No, now we've got a job to do. We've got to go to the other places." It says there in Luke chapter 8, the very same. They were going from village to village proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He says, "It's not about yourself anymore. It's about others. And you're with us." But their lives showed repentance. We see her weeping and washing Jesus' feet. No one had washed Jesus' feet, and she was going to use her own tears and her own hair to make sure that common custom was taken care of. Because she wanted to show Jesus that her life had changed. "I'm not the same woman anymore. I'm not going down the same path anymore." And that's the same for us, that when we come to Jesus, our faith has to show repentance. But we also see from her and the others that their faith showed gratitude. Man, that's a good word, isn't it? A lot of people don't show a lot of gratitude these days. We live lives of entitlement. We show up at the Commerce drive-thru or whatever bank you drive with, and one car's in front of us taking a little bit of time, and what are we doing? Pounding our steering wheel. Man, would these people get their act together? I've got places to go. I've got to get to CNR. I've got to get to the nutrition center and play my card game. They are holding me up. We see this lady right here. She knelt before Jesus because she was showing her gratitude and her repentance. She had recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. And she wanted to show him how thankful she was that Jesus had changed her life. And that she was kissing his feet, not in fear, not because Jesus had beat her and was scaring her, but she was kissing his feet with joy and gratitude. What has Jesus done for you that you would be so grateful for that you would fall down at his feet? and say thank you. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Each and every day we have more blessings than we can ever imagine. We take so many things for granted. We see all through Jesus' ministry with these ladies that they were willing to show their gratitude to Jesus. We don't see it much with the men. We see it a couple times. The one that had the girl that was sick and came to have Jesus heal his daughter, we see it there in desperation. But I appreciate ladies so much because they're willing to show their emotions. They're willing to let people see publicly how much they love and how much they care. And we see that with these ladies here. Many times us guys, we feel that's a little bit harder for us, a little bit below us. But these ladies show us how we can show gratitude and love for Jesus in our daily lives. But we also see that their faith showed us sacrifice. It took money out of their own means, it says here, that these women were helping to support them out of their own means. I don't know what they were doing to earn their money, but they were going ahead maybe where the disciples were and Jesus were going all these different places. They were the ones getting lodging set up. They were the one making dinner plans and reservations. They were the ones maybe meeting with the needs of the people after they had met Jesus to help them find places to get care and concern. They were taking care of all those situations that many of us overlook and we think just will be done. I remember my Aunt Betty was that way. Work behind the scenes. We'd be having our family reunions, doing all this stuff. She'd be sweeping the floor, you know, cleaning up the kitchen after everything's done, getting the trash taken care of. So when we were done with her, we were ready to go. That's what these ladies were doing. And that's a way for them to be involved and show their love and appreciation for Jesus. But it was sacrifice. Out of their own resources, they did these things to show Jesus how much they loved him. We see in Luke chapter 10 the stories of Mary and Martha that they opened up their own home. It says in Luke 10, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Isn't that like an older sister being jealous of a younger sibling that feels like they get things, all the things that you never got? I've always kind of felt that way about my youngest brother, Matt. Still do, but hey, I'll get over it one of these days. But we see that here with Mary and Martha, that they opened their home to Jesus, not only to stay, but to teach so people could gather around. We also see that when this lady came, that she brought with her a very expensive jar of perfume. She wasn't being reimbursed for that. She wasn't turning an invoice in to the disciples to say, hey, could you take care of this for me? She didn't care. She was willing to sacrifice out of her own resources to show how much she loved Jesus. They were willing to put their plans on hold and let Jesus lead them. They were the ones at the cross, not the disciples, except for John, who was with Mary. They were all running around disowning Jesus, but they were there. They were willing to sacrifice their life to let Jesus know and his family know that he was not alone, that he was not abandoned. They were the ones that followed Jesus' body to the tomb. They were the first ones at the tomb on Resurrection Sunday because our faith demands sacrifice. What are we willing to sacrifice in our lives to let Jesus lead us? Is it our resources like their stuff that they had? Is it our time to follow them? Or is it our own dreams and plans to let Jesus' plans and dreams come to us so we can serve and love others? But the last thing that their faith shows us is that a faith that is ready to share Jesus. Judy read it just a few moments ago. Jesus told her to go and tell the others. We also see it in John chapter 20 when Jesus says to Mary, he calls her by name, she calls him Rabbi. And then he told her, do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father to be my God and your God. So Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. A faith that's in Jesus, an act of faith, is one that is ready to tell others about Jesus. We read it in Matthew chapter 20 that Judy read. He says, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. I think it's interesting that Jesus first appeared to ladies. They were not trusted witnesses in those society of that time. But Jesus rewarded their faith. Jesus rewarded their gratitude. He rewarded their love to be the first ones to see the risen Lord. He will do the same for you. He will reward your faith. He will reward your sacrifice. But she brought a very specific message. I have seen the Lord. I don't think anybody in here we can claim that same message. But I can claim the message of what the Lord's done for me. I can also continue the message that Jesus is alive, that Jesus has risen from the dead. And she took it to those that were closest to her. We have the same job to do. Jesus gave that message to her personally to go back to disciples. Jesus then gave the message to the disciples to go into all the world and tell them the good news about me. And that's our job today, to be witnesses just like Mary Magdalene was to the disciples. So the few takeaways we have. Number one, as ladies, you are valued and loved. Jesus sees you that way. He elevates your status. When other people put your status down, Jesus elevates your status. He brings you out of the shadows and into the limelight. And as Jenny was saying about Simon, do you see this woman? Well, he saw what he wanted to see. But then Jesus said, do you really see her? You're the religious leader supposed to be taking care of her, and you've dismissed her. I wonder if Jesus says the same thing to the church today. Do you see her? Do you really see her? We're the ones to be out there helping people with their spiritual needs. We also see that we have a purpose in the kingdom of God. It may be a different purpose than a man. It may be a different person than a fellow lady. But it's still a purpose. And Jesus values that. He rewards that. But we also see from this, each one of these ladies' encounters, we see the forgiveness and the restoration of a relationship with Jesus. He tells her, you have been forgiven. He didn't change her status. He didn't give her money. He didn't give her a gift card to go to CNR or to go to the Burger House. He took care of her spiritual needs because she came to Jesus on her knees in gratitude and in sacrifice. What would bring you to your knees before Jesus? The sickness of a child, that'll do it. The death of a loved one. The brokenness of a relationship. We see every time that that happens, Jesus touches them and restores them and gives them value. And then he tells us that we have a message to share. The good news of Jesus. And using it out of our own means. Jesus can heal your hurts. No matter what's been done to you in the past, more things done that we didn't deserve to happen to us, there's nothing. It was done out of just evilness of someone, like this simple woman here. Jesus let her touch him. Jesus let her show her appreciation. And then Jesus gave the healing of her heart and then gave her a purpose in her life. Today, won't you trust Jesus with your hurts, trust Jesus with your future, and trust Jesus with your resources. And I guarantee you, he will reward you. And one day we'll stand before the throne and we will see him, and we'll all together give God glory for the purposes that he's given us.